Good morning, church. As always, it's a blessing to be here. Will you please stand up and let's worship God this morning? And my plan is to have a great time in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We gather in His name to praise Him and to feel the Holy Spirit in this building. Let's make this hour the most beautiful hour of this Amen. Awesome Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
Let's worship God. Song, isn't it? Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Of
Hallelujah. Amen.
All right. Well, you guys can be seated. Thank you guys for all being here today. If it is your first time here, we want to welcome you. There is a card in the seat back in front of you. And if you want to just write your name on that and any information, we can get in touch with you and see how we can serve you as a church body. That would be great. You can just drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, and that would be your gift to us. Couple of announcements for the day. We've got youth group coming up this week. On Tuesday, we have middle school from 6:30 to 8 p.m. We'll be having a lot of fun just teaching kids the word and playing games. We'll be doing the same thing for high school kids on Thursday from 7 to 8:30. So we've got that going on this week. We've also got the nursery downstairs. If anyone has a baby that they want to put in the nursery, that is available during this service. Tomorrow night, we've got Monday nights at First B, which is Meal, Music, and Message. Be right down the hall in the fellowship hall. And that's paired up with Awana, which is a children's program. And that will all be going on here tomorrow night, starting at 6 p.m. So come out for a Meal, Music, and Message and drop the kiddos off in here. We've got Habitat for Humanity. I'm going to head up a project. Me, Carl, and Ray are going to head up a team and go later on this month and go help build the Grove, which is down kind of back behind the library there, and build some housing for residents here in town. So we're going to volunteer that day. If anyone's interested in that, just get in touch with me and I can get you more information. Operation Christmas Child. We're going to be doing that this week, Wednesday the 8th. We're going to have a packing party. So if you want to go and buy some things to put in the boxes, we can do that. There's also boxes in the foyer. If you want to take a box with you, you can fill it up and then bring it back on the 8th. And we'll have those all filled out and we can send them off. There's also a way that you can register online and then get to track and see where that package went and see where it ended up. So see Casey McCooey for details. Her contact info is inside this little bulletin right here. And all the rest of the details are inside this bulletin, so make sure you look at that. And if you guys want to stand up and greet one another, we'll bring you back together with some more of this wonderful singing.
And this one would go.
Beg pardon?
This one would go second in another key.
In another key. Yes, okay, right. We're okay. Picking up the chorus in another key.
Oh, so we're gonna sing one
in the chorus, two in the chorus, and then four.
Another key.
And then another key.
And then chorus in the final. Okay,
perfect.
Thank you.
beautiful to see the church alive, praising God with a good spirit. That's a blessing, honestly. You guys are a blessing to me, and I'm praying that God, through the Holy Spirit, would reach to our hearts and do something there that it cannot be explained in words, only by the Holy Spirit. That's the beauty of the songs. I want to share with you something. I was very impressed this week by our pastors. As you probably know, some of don't. They drove all the way to Florida, a huge truck, and then pulled another car behind that truck, helping Melissa Reese, right? All the way to Florida. Isn't that awesome? Yes. I think we have an amazing First B team here. Pastor Ray, Pastor Carl, Mike Dimitris, he's always on fire, ready to do something to serve God in the community. And I'm thankful for that. So praise God, and I'm thankful for our pastors. Let's worship with this wonderful song that says, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus said the Lord." Amen.
So we'll go ahead and invite the frontline team up here. And this is the time in the service where we will take up our offering. So I'll go ahead and pray and just ask God's blessing on this offering. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you in spirit and in truth. God, I pray that you'll just be here with us. God, would you take these tithes and these offerings? God, we offer them up and we say, God, you give us so much. Here's some back from what you've given us. We know that you give us more than we'll need, and we give this back. God, would you take these gifts, these tithes, these offerings, God, and bless your kingdom? Would you use it for the advancement of your gospel, the meeting of needs of your people, God, and let your love just spread? God, thank you for this, and we lift this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Maureen. So today we're going to get to hear a powerful message. Since Ray and Carl are both gone, Gary Geek is actually going to share with us today, and he's going to share, I heard it just a little bit ago, a powerful message, and it is the fabric of our faith. So Gary, if you will come up, and let's invite Gary up with a little round of applause, please, and just welcome him from DNA.
Sound good? All right. I shared this little joke earlier, and I didn't know how well it went, and Diane thought I should share it again. So I'm excited to share this message, especially... I heard three little kids talking last Sunday, and they're bragging on their dads, and one of them said, "My dad wrote a few words on a piece of paper, called it a poem, and got $50. The other little kid said, "My dad wrote a few words on a piece of paper, called it a song, and got $100. The third one said, "My dad wrote a few little words on a piece of paper, called it a sermon, and it took four people to collect all his money." So I'm looking forward to sharing my message.
That's awesome.
Last week, Ray talked about the advancement of the gospel, and that some was preaching out of envy and rivalry, but others were preaching out of goodwill. Paul, of course, wrote the letter in prison. He encouraged the Philippians to preach the gospel out of love. But I think for some of us, sharing the gospel is not as easy. And I kind of see it as like someone trying to push a ball up a hill. It's just kind of awkward. So I got a little video. You want to share that?
Morning, Jim. Robert.
Hey.
Hi, Jim.
Trika.
Sharing your faith doesn't have to be hard. Let's do it together.
I read an article that made this statement: must every Christian preach the gospel? What if that answer was no? If that answer was no, then it would justify these excuses that we use not to share the gospel. It's not my calling. I don't know how to tell the gospel. I'm not good at that stuff like that. I might push people away. I might lose my friends. I might lose my job. I may be hated for it. I live the gospel rather than to tell the gospel. I don't know any unbelievers. I may not be able to answer people's questions and comments. The list could go on and on and on. Excuse me. But we know that answer is no, or is not no. We know we're called to share our faith. Always be prepared to share the hope that we have in Christ. We also see that from Ray's last week's sermon in Philippians 1:14. It says, "And because of my chains, most brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." Paul praised them because they were confident in the Lord and they were able to pray or able to spread the gospel without fear. I read a survey by the American Culture and Faith Institute, surveyed over 1,000 Christians. It's not a denominational, it was a broad Big C church survey. 18 or older, only 1 out of 4 believed that was their responsibility to share their faith with people who believe differently. And that percentage goes even lower, that presented a gospel message that was biblical. The heart in sharing the gospel. I remember a story about a poor Chinese farmer who had cataracts removed from his eyes from a Christian mission clinic. A few days later, the missionary doctor looked out the window and noticed the farmer holding the end of a long rope. In single file, holding onto the rope, were 24 blind Chinese who had been rounded up and led for miles to the doctor who had worked a miracle on this farmer's eyes. That's how we who have received the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ should be. We are so blessed that we want everyone to know so that they can receive that same gift.
Our country's in great need of a spiritual awakening. Well, there have been times that I've wept as I've gone from city to city and I've seen how far people have wandered from God. Of all the things that I've seen and heard, there's only one message that can change people's lives and hearts.
There is a way if you come by the way of the cross. The cross. The cross.
I want to tell people about the meaning of the cross. Not the cross that hangs on the wall or around someone's neck.
We receive our freedom purchased by the ransom at the cross.
But the real cross of Christ.
The cross expresses the great love of God for man.
It's scarred and bloodstained. His was a rugged cross.
His real purpose for coming was to die.
I know that many will react to this message, but it is the truth. And with all my heart, I want to leave you with the truth. God.
The gospel is a gospel of truth. But fear is a huge deterrent that keeps us silent. We live in a world that has embraced tolerance as a virtue. This great movement of tolerance is racing through the schools, universities, workplaces, government, and most every part of society. But it has just one verse and one command. I'm going to try to quote it as best I can. Judge not me, nor anything I say, believe, do, or want, lest ye shall be judged intolerant. The new intolerant movement is anything but tolerant when it comes to the universal truths, especially the universal truths of the gospel. I believe if I was to scale faith and grace, if for truth and grace would be equally balanced in the gospel message. But this world hates the truth side of the gospel. And it's screaming, change your narrative. Change your story. And it is pushing the church to the grace side. I want to share a story. I was sharing my faith with this person, and this has happened many times to me. And through our conversation, this person would say, I believe God is love. I believe Jesus is merciful. And I believe when I die, that he's going to look on me as a good person and welcome me into his kingdom. What side of the gospel have they been hearing? When we boldly go out and share the gospel, we share the whole counsel of the gospel.
The cross is offensive because it confronts people. Even so, it's a confrontation that all of us must face. I look out across an audience when I stand up to preach, and I think of all the people with their different backgrounds and their various needs. And I know that they are objects of God's mighty love. To the point that he gave his son, his only son, to die upon a cross. And the cross was the most terrible form of execution by the Romans for criminals. And Jesus endured all that in our place because of our sins. We deserve the cross. We deserve hell. We deserve judgment and all that that means. I know that there are many people that dispute that. People don't want to hear that they're sinners. To many people, it's an offense. The cross is offensive because it directly confronts the evils which dominate so much of this world. One reason that the cross is an offense to people is because it demands, doesn't suggest, it demands a new lifestyle in all of us. Sin is a disease in the human heart. It affects the mind and the will and the emotions. Every part of our being is affected by this disease. How can we break this bondage? How can we be set free? God helps us break those chains. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Everything becomes new. It can make you a totally new person.
The gospel comes at a great cost. In our zeal making salvation painless, we water down the great cost paid for us on the cross that redeemed us from God's eternal wrath. We can also present the gospel with the emphasis on the benefits of Christianity without the cost involved. This gospel may sound something like this. If you trust Jesus, He will solve your problems. You'll be a better person. He will help you with your self-esteem. On and on and on. And I've even heard it go as far as that Jesus wants to make you wealthy and rich. The true gospel emphasizes repentance, a turn from sin, lordship, making Christ Lord of my life.
God was laying on Jesus our sins. They not only put nails in his hands, but before that they scourged him. A Roman scourge was a terrible thing. They took whips and pellets on those whips and beat a person almost to death. And then they took that cross and made him carry the cross, which was in his weakened condition, was almost impossible. But he carried that cross to a place outside of Jerusalem. And then they put nails in his hands. But that was not the real suffering. The real suffering is when he said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In that terrible moment, he and God the Father were separated.
The gospel is narrow. In Matthew 7, 13, 14, Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it." Jesus never sugarcoated truth. And the truth is that not many people will be willing to pay the price to follow him.
Way of salvation except through the cross of Christ. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." The only way to the Father, Father God, is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, why Jesus? He's the only one that was born into this world without sin. But more than that, he was a righteous one. And when you come to him, you're clothed in his righteousness. God no longer sees your sin. He no longer sees your own heart. He sees Jesus.
The gospel leads to a decision. In John 6, 44, Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sends him draws him." Only the Father, through the work of his Holy Spirit, can lead you to the intersection of these two roads. I'm trying to picture this here. Imagine in your mind this intersection and this huge broad road. But off that broad road is this narrow. The gospel leads us to a decision.
When you come to Christ, you come by the way of repentance. Repent means to change. To change your way of living and turn from your sins and turn to Jesus Christ and say, "I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness." And I know that you're the only one that can change me. Today, I'm asking you to put your trust in Christ. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer, sentence by sentence, after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you've died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins. I repent of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
He's alive. I've given my life not to a dead Christ, but to a living Christ. And he's given me a song to sing. He's given me a flag to follow. I have reason for existence. I know where I've come from. I know why I'm here. I know where I'm going. Do you?
My hope in sharing this message is that it encourages us, one, that we need to share the full counsel of the gospel. We need to share it without fear. I don't know if there was any in here that may have heard the gospel for the first time in a way that God's Spirit drove it home. If that was the case, hallelujah. And again, I pray that be bold in our faith. Bring people to Jesus. Thank you.
I felt led by this Holy Spirit because of this wonderful sermon to sing a song that I played it at the 9 o'clock worship service, and I think you're going to like the lyrics. I would ask Blake, if you can, would you please put on the screen how deep the Father's love for us, if you have it. Because I want to make sure you understand the lyrics. Sometimes when I sing with accent, I know it's... And I want to make sure you understand. The song, it's so good, so good. Not my voice, the lyrics. And after that, we're going to sing the congregation song.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turned his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Amen. Amen. Will you please stand up? I want to invite Mr. Bob so he can sing the last song. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name ever. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And I know that you love Jesus. I can feel it when you speak to me. So, church, it's always good to be here in God's house. Amen?
Amen.
It's good that we gather together to praise His name, but also we get to encourage one another to go forward with Him. Amen?
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name I've heard. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Now, I also feel, I did that in the 9 o'clock service, and I think it's good thing for us. So I know that this is the human flesh. That's what we do. We hear something, we shake our hands, we live, and we go on our life. Based on that beautiful sermon that we just heard, let's take a minute in prayer. Can we take a minute in silence when we can just have a good conversation in the Holy Spirit with our Savior? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the salvation that you provided for us through Jesus Christ, your Son. How much you love us. How much you love us right now, this very moment. We're asking that you would bless this church. We're asking that you would bless our life, that we can get deep into the Word and feel the Holy Spirit work in our life. Would you help us to be good servants where we can share the gospel at work, in the family, with our neighbors? Please help us in the name of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, that we can get that power from you. Because I know the Holy Spirit, you gave it to us. It is in us. He's in us. Let us activate the power that is in us, that we can be bold and speak about the truth that we know about the salvation. We also know that if we don't speak, the people will not hear the good news. Thank you for Brother Gary, and he just gave us a good sermon. Please bless Pastor Carl, Pastor Ray, and their way to Florida and to see their family. Bless us the rest of the day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Have a beautiful Sunday. God bless you.